The verse which I trust the Lord will enable me to make a few remarks will be found in Paul's second epistle to Timothy, the fourth chapter, the sixth and two following verses. Paul's second epistle to Timothy, the fourth chapter, the sixth and the two following verses. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What a wonderful word to be brought and taught by the Holy Spirit, where one can say out of a full heart, I am now ready. And yet, this is how we all should be. But are we ready? Are we ready to meet that great judge of all the earth? It's one thing to say we're ready. It's another thing to be brought under the influence of the Holy Spirit and to feel the effects of that precious blood of Christ upon our consciences, cleansing us from all our guilt and all our unrighteousnesses, and giving us that sweet assurance of faith where we can say beyond all doubt, I am now ready. But how much one has to be brought into before we shall ever be able to say this. I believe that there are those who have a false religion, who may feel that they are ready. Little do they know anything of the fight. Little do they know of the warfare. Little do they know of their own need of cleansing. Little do they know what eternity holds for them. But Paul, who was one originally a very devout Christian, one who was admired by himself and also by those around him for his zeal in his cause. But how God in his mercy stopped him. And you see how easy it is to have a form of religion, to be so zealous in it that we could even persecute the people of God. And this was the case of Paul. But here we can see the mercy of God. Here we can see the sovereignty of God. And how God taught him, how he led him, and how he brought him to this very spot. For I am now ready. Now ready. Oh, it's a wonderful spot to be brought into. Man is not very often brought into this place where he can truly say that he's ready. We need so much to be done for us before we're ready for such an event as this. Once this event comes upon us, there will be nothing else that we can do. There can be no more preparation. There can be no more crying unto the Lord for mercy. There can be no more reading the Word of God. There will be no more doing of those things which we ought to do. But are we ready? For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I wonder how many of us, if we were brought face to face, realizing that death would be ours in a matter of moments or hours, how we would face it. We know not. So many have been called suddenly out of this world. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of God, all of us, to give an account of the deeds done in the body. And all our zeal, all our outward show of religion, all our talk will be of no avail in that day. That won't make us ready. But what a mercy if, by the grace of God, we've been brought to see one who is a sufficiency for all our needs. If we have been brought to realize that there is a God in heaven who can make us ready for this great event, and not only make us ready for it, but to come to us in such a way that we can boldly face it. Yea, that we can look forward to that time. As Paul has said on more than one occasion, how he longed for that time. He said, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Departure from this sinful world, think of it. Departure from self. Departure from this earthen vessel. Departure from all the trials and the conflicts of the way. Departure from the temptations of Satan. Departure of all the powers of evil, because Paul had such a wonderful insight. He had such a wonderful faith in his God. He could see what this departure meant. It would be, as it were, as we've just sung, a bird, as it were, let loose. As undoubtedly Paul was viewing with the wings of faith that which was before him. Although doubtless he knew of the suffering which he would have to pass through before this departure was completely effective, he had no fears with regard to that. But he had this prospect, for I am now ready, ready to pass through anything, ready to pass through pain and suffering, ready to be martyred, if necessary, so that my departure may be brought about. And yet how we shrink from pain and suffering. How we shrink, as it were, at the thought of death. How sometimes, as we walk into a hospital ward and see a corpse carried from a bed, how we recoil, as it were. And yet, when the faith of God is within our hearts, when we get a touch of that blessed Redeemer, when he comes and softens our heart, and all our sin and all our corruption, all our unbelief, all our fears, they've gone in a moment. And we believe that we can say with Paul, for I am now ready. I believe that unless I'm terribly deceived, I had a touch of this, last Saturday morning, just a moment, just a fleeting glance, when on the previous day how everything, not something, everything, seemed to be in such a state where one was ready to give everything up. And then what a difference when the Lord comes. You see, one is brought to be ready. One is brought submissive. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Oh, what a mercy of you and I, by the grace of God, when our time comes, that we might be found ready. Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? I have fought a good fight. So many Christians today, they have such a wonderful religion, they know nothing of this fighting. But there is a warfare. And Paul knew something of this warfare. And when he says, I have fought a good fight, he doesn't mean that he has fought this battle himself. It's been a good fight because it was for a good cause. It was a good fight because he had a good God with him in the fight. But it was not a good fight to his flesh. If you don't know anything of the fight, the warfare within, I doubt whether you're ready yet. But I believe all the Lord's people, to a greater or lesser degree, are brought to know something of the inward conflict. Paul knew that as he was stopped on the Damascus road, when that light from heaven shone within his heart and showed him what he was. And he said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? And that's just how our carnal reasoning works. What must I do? There may be one here tonight saying, what must I do to get myself ready for this great day? Mercifully, the Lord hasn't left anything for his people to do. Not a thing. But how there is that warfare. And I believe that all the Lord's people and all the Lord's servants know something of this warfare, this fight. But though hosts of enemies rise up to fill us with dismay, the Lord will make his goodness pass before us in the way. Why, it is during this fight that we prove the Lord's goodness to us. It is during this fight that we prove that this God is a living God. It is during this fight that we know that this God is our God. We realize that this God has a personal knowledge of us. And not only has he a personal knowledge of us, he has a personal knowledge of our enemies. He has a personal knowledge of those who are against us. He knows the weapons that they use. But you see, their weapons are carnal, carnal reasoning, carnal wisdom. But you see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, said Paul. Oh, what a mercy it is when God fights for his people. It's a good fight. When you can see, as it were, your enemies subdued. When you can see, as it were, the whole host. And the Lord so comes and blesses your soul and gives you to realize that he's your God, that he's fighting your battles for you, and there's no need for you to raise a little finger. Everything's under his control. Oh, I'm now ready. When I can see these things and see that my God has my life, my future, and everything in his wise hands, that he's left nothing to me whatever, and that anything which may come into my life and my experience, although it may be painful, although it may be displeasing to my flesh, yet my God has permitted it. It's all as it were, in this fight. And sometimes, in a warfare, one, as it were, shows themselves to the enemy to draw attack. And I believe sometimes the Lord allows his people to be brought into a place where they show themselves to the enemy to draw attack, so that the powers of warfare may be seen and known and felt. Now the child of God, as he sees these powers coming toward him, and he seems hemmed in on every side, there seems to be no way of escape for him, the Lord appears. Now the Lord appeared for the children of Israel in the 11th hour. The Lord appears for all his people just at the right moment. You come to that place where you feel you cannot take another step. Now these things are hid from the wise and prudent. Yesterday we were speaking to our own people with regard to that path. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and the vulture's eye hath not seen. That hidden way. But in that path, you see, it is that path of safe retreat, where the Lord leads his people into. Now he says, I have fought a good fight. If we fight our own battles, if we use our own wisdom, we shall never fight a good fight. But Paul had a good God to stand by him in all his troubles. And do you know anything of this same God that Paul had? Do you know what it is to be brought to realize your own weakness, your own inability to do anything? Do you know what it is sometimes to feel as if you're being crushed as a moth? It seems as if the whole world is against you. And then in the midst of it all, the Lord comes. He speaks a word to you. Or he may not even speak a word. He may come and just take possession of your heart. He may quieten, as it were, your mind. He can turn your affections away from the things of God, away from the things of earth to the things of God. He gives you, as it were, a token of faith whereby you're able to look beyond your immediate circumstances, and you have such a persuasion. There's no doubt. There's no fear. There's no ifs or buts. You have such a persuasion that this God is your God. David knew it when he said, this God is our God. He shall be our guide even down to death. Now we may have many fears with regard to death. But I'm sure of this, that if we are the Lord's people, we shall be ready whenever that time may come. I've heard it said, well, I'm far from ready. I need this to be done. I need the other to be done before I'm ready. If the Lord could create the whole of this universe in 7 days, he can make a backsliding, wayward soul ready for eternity in the twinkling of an eye. How we limit, as it were, the power of God. But even this is part of the warfare. We wouldn't rest upon the Lord putting matters right for us in a matter of a moment, but rather would we come before him and say, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There was a certain course which was set for Paul. And Paul undoubtedly had had a view, according to that word which God gives us in Deuteronomy, thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord hath led thee. I've heard it said that when people are drowning, their life, as it were, comes to them in a matter of moments. The mind, as it were, travels right back to their childhood, and their life runs before. Well, that may be, that may not be. But could it be that Paul had had a view of the mercy, the compassion, the protecting care of God toward him right throughout his life, as he could see the course of providence and the course of grace so beautifully woven together, that he could see all the goodness of the Lord toward him in such a way which caused him to say, I'm now ready? That he saw the course of God leading him from nature's darkness into the glorious liberty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, in opening up unto him his understanding and giving him that truth and enabling him to preach the gospel so faithfully as he did, and then to realize that now the end was coming. I finished my course. The Lord has no further need of me. And when the Lord has no further need of his servants, sometimes we may be troubled as we see one of the Lord's servants perhaps taken suddenly, or to us unexpectedly in the prime of life. We can't understand it. Because the Lord, because that one has finished his course, the Lord has no further need of him. Sometimes we may look upon a man, and we know one, we thought with regard to the late Mr. Durbridge, as we saw that man and that little church, such a united church and people, we couldn't understand why the Lord should suddenly remove him. But it may have been that man thought too much of him. But it's not for us to pry into the counsels of God. It's not for us to say what the Lord's will is in these matters. But rest assured of this, that he had finished his course and he had kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. First of all, this is the faith of God's elect. This was the faith which he had preached. This was the faith which he had kept to. In the day in which we live, it's so commonplace for people who have been brought up under the sound of the truth to depart from that faith, to go for something which is easier, something which is going to be more comfortable, something which is going to be more pleasing to the flesh. But what a mercy if you and I are brought by faith, because if we are brought by faith, that is the true gift of God, to a living faith, we shall never depart from the faith. But if our religion is a false faith, if it is a natural faith, well then we shall depart from it, and we shall seek for something which will be an easier pathway. We shall not want a pathway where there is a warfare. We shall not want a pathway which is full of affliction and sorrow and trial. We shall want a pathway where we can have the world in one hand and our religion in another. Well, that is not the faith or the way of God's elect. There is that way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But the ways of God are past finding out, but there's such a depth in them. There's such a blessedness in them. And there's such a sweetness in them, that when one is brought into this pathway to see it by faith, they come with the words of Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then they are brought to this place. I have kept the faith. Now, Paul does not mean for a moment that he's done it in and of himself, in his own strength. Paul was the last who would preach free will, or even intimate at free will, but he was looking back at the goodness of the Lord toward him, what the Lord had done. Kept by the power of God, I continue unto this day, for I am now ready. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, he was looking into the future. What a mercy if you and I can leave the past and look into the future. Henceforth, whatever we've been in the past, there's much that we would like to put right, but we never shall be able to. That's finished. We can never put those wrongs right, as much as we would desire to. Many things which have come into our life in the past, we can never alter. They're finished. But henceforth, there is a future. And to look, as it were, henceforth. And here Paul was looking forward. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. This indicates that Paul felt his need of it. Paul valued this. It was something which he anticipated, something which he hoped for, yea, which he knew was there. It was laid up. A crown of righteousness. One would have thought that Paul, with all his experience, with his ministry and the way in which the Lord had favoured him in the ministry, one would have thought that he was a very righteous man. Well, indeed he was, in the eyes of God. But in his own eyes, no. Paul was known to say this, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And now, you see, this was all beginning to open up to him. He could see now that he was going to be shortly delivered from the body of this death, henceforth. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Works of righteousness I have none. All polluted is my breast. Yet I weary am I no, and the weary long for rest. And so you see, Paul could see henceforth. How often do we come with Paul and say henceforth? How often do you and I look into the future? How often do you and I look, as it were, beyond the grave? If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. What is this life to the child of God? What is there to be gained in it? What can one expect henceforth in this world? Only that things will wax worse and worse. There is no future whatever in this world. And if we are taught by the Spirit, we shall soon be brought to realize the emptiness of it. But what a mercy if we can say henceforth. It matters not what may happen to our own immediate circumstances, but henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's not in my possession yet. I don't feel to be righteous yet. But I'm persuaded of this, that it's laid up for me. And it's kept in very good care. As yet it's not been permitted to be placed upon my head. But I must depart. I must put off this corruption and put on incorruption before this crown can be placed upon my head, but which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. The Lord, the righteous judge. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I amongst them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Yes, the righteous judge. The only one who is able to make us righteous and prepare us for this crown of righteousness, imputed righteousness. You see, all the works of righteousness which we have, all our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. But oh, to have that righteousness of God, that imputed righteousness, the righteous judge. And the Lord, he knows our need, and he can judge how we need it. Sometimes, you know, we look upon him as a righteous judge in such a wrong light. We look upon him as being a judge who will condemn us, who will have no mercy upon us. But if you have been brought to realize, my friend, the filthiness of your righteousness, if you've been brought to feel the need of your righteousness, before you dare leave this life, he is the righteous judge. And he can judge those who are taught by the Holy Spirit to know their need of a righteousness. He has such judgment that he knows poor, guilty, wretched sinners. He knows those who are in need of this crown of righteousness. He knows those who would value it most. The self-righteous Pharisee has already got his own crown of righteousness, but it's self-righteousness. He has his own robes of righteousness. But you see, there are those whose best disdained and died with sin. Their all is nothing worth. But you see, this crown of righteousness was laid up. It was laid up. Henceforth there is laid up for me. Oh, I like that. I like that. Laid up for me. Is this ever come home? Does it strike a chord within your heart? Whilst we read this, perhaps with regard to Paul, but as we look back upon Paul's experiences, we felt, as it were, sometimes to go hand in hand with Paul through the scriptures, through the epistles. And as we look to Paul's present state, I am now ready, and then this crown is laid up for me. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be brought by faith to believe it for me. What an assurance. What a deathbed testimony. To leave such a word as this behind, and not only leave it behind, but also that it might be recorded in the Word of God, that it might be used for our own comfort and our own encouragement. At that day, and then he says, there might be some here tonight who can't come with Paul. You can't come into the experiences. You feel that you've been left out. You feel that you've never had this faith. You feel that you've never been able to say with Paul that I am now ready to be offered. But he says, and not to me only, not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Love is appearing. Now perhaps then you cannot go side by side with Paul in some of the paths and the places that he went into. But do you love the Lord's appearing? Not that has the Lord appearing for them, because there are so many today, they can tell you how the Lord has appeared for them. I've heard some very strange stories from people of how the Lord has appeared for them. But I like to hear those who love the Lord appearing for them. Those who can look back and say, well, I know the Lord appeared for me there. I know it was the Lord, because I was brought into such circumstances. Had I been left to myself, I'd have taken a totally different course. I would never have done so and so, but the Lord appeared. I remember at a time of deep sorrow, something which would have crushed me, something which would have brought me down to the grave, but the Lord appeared. The Lord strengthened me. The Lord came and showed himself to me as my God. The Lord came in such a remarkable way that he brought me out of the miry clay and he set my feet upon a rock. The Lord appeared on one occasion when I was about to slip into hell, when I felt that I had no power over my own faculties, when all I can say is this, that determined to save, he watched all my path, when Satan's blind slave I sported with death, the Lord appeared. And then there was that time when I was so determined to have my fill. I was so determined to leave the ways of God. I was so determined to go my own way. But the Lord appeared, and the Lord hedged up my path. And how the Lord appears in various ways. Sometimes he appears by bringing distress upon his people. There is that black sheepdog of affliction which the Lord sends, as it were, to his people to keep them under control. But the Lord appears. The Lord appears. And how he brings these various circumstances. And how some of the Lord's people have been permitted, as it were, to go almost to the very brink. But the Lord appears. But unto all them also that love is appearing. Now when the Lord then appears to his people, he always appears in love. He appears, I know, in various times by bringing trials and distresses. But there is love placed upon them all. And the child of God at times is brought to believe it and realize that whatever the Lord lays upon him, it is the Lord, enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. But as one can see and look back, the Lord appears and shows you, as he did with Paul undoubtedly here, when he says, I'm now ready. That's what the child of God loves. When he feels that union and communion with his God. When he feels that oneness. When he feels that he's the effects of that precious blood upon his conscience. When he feels that God has prepared him, he's watched him, that he's cast all his sins in the depth of the sea. When he can say, there's not one who can stand before me now, because thou art the righteous judge. And thou knowest, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou art my redeemer. thou art my God, for I am now ready. Now, if we love his appearing whilst here below, should not we be looking forward to that appearing? Should not we be ready, waiting for it? That appearing when he will come and never depart again? Then we shall always be with him. One said, more frequent let his visits be, or let them longer last. And here we are, as it were, afraid of his final appearing. If you have an appearing, and the Lord appears to you in love, and softens thy hard heart, dispels thy unbelief, gives you a touch of precious faith, as it were, to look beyond the grave, then you'll love his appearing, and you'll long for his appearing. When shall the day, dear Lord, appear, that I shall mount to dwell above? This will be your song. This will be your desire. When will it be? It cannot be quick enough. It cannot come soon enough. Because the Lord has appeared. I am now ready to be offered up. It's a wonderful thing to be brought into the realization of the living God. To be brought into that place where the love of God is a living reality to you. So many today, they seem to have a religion which is a fantasy, something which they've learned, perhaps from a child, something they've read about, but there's no experience in it. There's no life in it. It's a form, no reality. And this is what I fear more than anything. It's so easy to become formal. I'd like to be shod of all formality. I know that formality is good and we must have it. But I wish to be free from all formality. And I'd rather have a little reality, however small it is, so that when we come to the end of the journey, we can say, for I'm now ready. I'm now ready. So many in a form of religion, they say they're ready. And the first ache they get, they're off to the doctor. They're afraid they're going to die. And they do anything. You see, because death's before them. But what a mercy it is when we can look, as it were, the stake or the fire or the spear, as Paul was. And he was able to say, for I am now ready to be offered. Offered whatever way the Lord sees fit. Whatever the Lord sees fit, this is the way. The Lord has ordered my course through this life. And now he's going to offer, as it were, my body. Think of it. Your body in the hands of the Lord. Paul was so submissive, he was offering his body, as it were, to the Lord. He had such faith, he could see everything was in the Lord's hands. I am now ready to be offered. Do you think your religion will end like this? It's the end that's going to count. It doesn't matter what we are in the eyes of others. It doesn't matter one iota what others think of us. The chief concern is this. What's going to happen when we come to the end? Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be made ready? Will we in that moment be brought to realize that Christ is our Redeemer and our all? And the more I go on, the more I realise my own weaknesses and my own inability to bring forth any good. And this makes me value more and more the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, the completeness of the work of redemption. And what a mercy it is that the Lord hasn't left anything for you and I to do. But how we would rejoice in the gospel scheme, free, sovereign, unmerited grace for poor, lost, wretched sinners. How the Lord brings his people various ways, but he always brings them down to this. It matters not who they are. They'll all be brought to this. Every one of the Lord's poor, tried, afflicted people. For I am now ready. We often say that in the Word of God, there is very little to indicate the dying testimonies of the Lord's people. We read that they died and were buried. And people make so much today of what a person says in their last moments. And sometimes words are put into their mouths. But here we have recorded in the Word of God the last testament of a dear servant of the Lord. And what a comfort it is to know that after all his ministry, after all his fightings, and as he fought with the beasts at Ephesus, the beasts of magic, the beasts of idolatry, and yet he fought a good fight. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, given freely, the gift of God, which he will give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. When did he last appear to you? The Lord doesn't appear to his people so often. He didn't appear many times to his own blessed disciples once he was taken from them. But what a mercy if the Lord has appeared to you once or twice. And if it can be said of you, truthfully, that you love his appearing. For then there is that crown of righteousness laid up for you. Can you truly say, I love to meet amongst them now? And at his gracious feet to bow, though vilest of them all. Can I bear the piercing thorn? What if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? Or prevent it by thy grace. Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place in this the accepted day. Then loudest of the crowd I'll sing, while heaven's resounding mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. I am now ready. Oh, what a word. May we, as it were, with our last expiring breath, his loving kindness sing in death. Amen.
Lord, Garland will picture on Monday evening in next week. Let us close with hymn number 471, June 8-3. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy throne. Thy Spirit must the work perform for the goal of grace. June 8-3.
Each one of us be prepared and made ready for that solemn change. Lord, the work is thine, the power is thine, and the glory will be thine. And now, Lord, be with us as we separate. Take us to our homes in peace and in safety. And now may the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.